Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the LFC Day Trippers. I'm Gav, and with me I have tonight, I have Jonathan, and this is Today at the World Cup. England 6, Iran 2, Holland 2, Senegal 0, USA 1, Wales 1. In a brilliant day of football, in fairness. Loads going on. Injury time nearly as long as the half itself, which was mental in loads of games. And we're going to take about 30 to 40 minutes to go through this and see where we end up. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm good. And you, Gav?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Eventful day, to say the least.
Yeah, it was entertaining day's football. Plenty of goals in the first game. The Holland Senegal game was poor enough at times, but I enjoyed the Wales and America game. I thought America were really impressive in the first half, but it kind of ran out of gears in the second half, I think. But I suppose Southgate and England will be very happy after the first game today, because I suppose the thing, first game is not to lose. And England have had their struggles in opening games before. Remember the last World Cup? I think it was last minute winner against India to win the opening game. So there'll be a very happy after today, and I suppose the buzz will start to grow in England as we speak.
Jono just says Jude Bellingham, that's it. That's all he has to say on it. We got on to Jude Bellingham in a bit. I did see people today going, oh, that's another 20 million on his transfer fee. But listen, if Jude Bellingham is leaving Borussia Dortmund, I'd say the deal is way down the line. Probably fees agreed and stuff like that. But he was excellent today, I have to say. Let's start with the last game of the day, though. USA against Wales, of course. They're in the same group as England and Iran. And I think this is a really good group, because USA, they flatter to deceive a lot, you know, highly rated in the qualifying and kind of struggles. But I just think there's something about Wales where they just don't give up. They know each other inside out. They never stop trying. And they've been, they're just so, I suppose, well organised. And they weren't good in the first half today. They weren't good. They're 1-0 down. And, you know, it looked like a halftime they looked a little bit lost, but the second half they come out and they're a completely changed side. There's so much going on from that, pressing better, passing better, getting the ball to Bale, you know, making opportunities, and they end up getting that penalty to make a 1-1. I just thought it was a cracking game of football, and I thought, you know what, if it's a sign of things to come, I think England will have two tough enough games, I think, against the USA and Wales looking on that tonight.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the USA in the first half. Like, they were young, I think they're the only squad in the whole tournament. And they were looked like quick, energetic, and they pace all over the field. Now, I don't know, the second half, did they tire or Wales improve? It was probably a bit of both. I think the key for more substitution improved Wales significantly. He was a bit of an outball for him. He kind of held it up.
And I think Bale and Ramsey kind of grew into the game. They were very poor in the first half. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be plain sailing for England after this. I think USA will cause the problems on Friday night, and the Wales game brings its own derby feel to it. But yeah, I actually really enjoyed that game, kind of a game of two halves, where Wales are the better team in the second half and USA far superior in the first half.
Yeah, and you know something, Jonas is there, by the way, to watch along with Chris and Kev was quality. Yeah, it was. I was dipping in and out while I was walking away, and it's something we're trying just for the World Cup. We probably won't bring it back for Premier League stuff, but if you're interested in watching alternative commentary and you want to stick them on in your ear while you're watching the match and you don't have to listen to some of the commentators, go and check it out. I think we've a watch along every night this week, so if that's what you're into, 7 p.m. every night, whatever game is on, we will try to cover it. Owen Bourke says that USA struggled with Wales going direct in the second half. It was like Wales just decided that, for me, in the first half, what happened with Wales was they were trying to probably figure, get them, you know, you've said it, like, the important thing is not to lose. And Wales probably came out with that attitude of, let's see what USA are about. Let's get ourselves bedded in, you know, get ourselves used to our surroundings and go from there. And it wasn't working for them because they weren't stringing passes together. They weren't making opportunities. USA take their opportunity. And like you said, the second half, it was just like Wales just went, can we not just play like we always play? They nearly forgot they were in a World Cup. They just went for it. By the way, they had a huge following at that game.
Yeah, they had a great support there. Actually reminded me a little bit of Ireland's open game against Cameroon in 2002.
Yes, good show.
A little bit ropey in the first 20 minutes, half an hour, and Cameroon went 1-0 up, and the game could have got away from us. But that kind of, as we felt our way into the game and got more comfortable in our surroundings, Ireland then started to dominate. And I think Wales was similar again today. They looked a little bit like rabbits in the headlights in the first half. But as they kind of settled into the game, I think, as I said earlier, the key for Moore's substitution was a big substitution for them. Like, I just don't rate Daniel James at all. Like, he's got no football intelligence. He's got world of pace. Ideally, he's a 15, 20-minute man for them when other teams are tiring.
Yeah, he was probably
Keith
perfect.
Moore was that outlaw.
But Dan James was probably perfect in the last 20 of that game. When it got stretched, and you know, and even if you left Kiefer Moore on the pitch and brought Dan James and Bale either side of him, now I think Johnson does well as well, in fairness to him, but he's the young Forest fella, isn't he? But
yeah,
he is the sort of player where you go, put him on for 20 and he'll get on to long balls, and you know, he'll cause trouble. Mm. And not only that, with the world of pace, like you said, he has, he probably makes America keep one or two more defenders back because he don't want to get caught with electric pace, and it makes him, he might not do a hell of a lot in the game, but it probably is your defensive worries in the fact that you don't have two more Americans coming at you, you know, during the game. Just on this group overall though, and we'll get on to the second, the game that went on, what went off for us today, but you'd expect Wales and America to be Iran, because we'll talk about Iran in a bit. So it's probably going to come down to who performs better against England.
Yeah, and England could be, it depends on if England could be true before the last game, so it depends what they do there. I don't think Iran will be as bad again, though. Like, in qualifying, they kind of kept a lot of clean sheets. I was kind of looking at them today thinking the old 3-5 or Paddy Power bit builder was doing the rounds. I think Harry Kane blew that for everyone, but I was thinking under 3.5 goals, because Iran had been, I was looking at their qualifying, they conceded very few goals. So I don't know if they'll be that bad again in the second game. Their keeper got an awful bang early in the game. Now, I don't know if that contributed to the defending, but I wouldn't write it off Iran just yet. I'm looking at the last 10 minutes there tonight. Wales and USA look tired. So,
yeah, and
it's only a four-day turnaround.
Yeah, it's a four-day turnaround, but like, you know, in fairness, in that game today, you know, USA and Wales, it was a real end-to-end job. You know, there was no kind of, oh, we'll hold possession for a bit and we'll kind of, you know, hold our energy. Like, especially in the last 25, 30 minutes, it was just like every time a team got the ball, whoever got the ball, he just went right, bang, everyone forward. And then the other team would get it back and they'd run up. You know, there was no kind of, I'd love to see the possession stats, because I don't know, like, obviously they've had a percentage of possession, but there wasn't an awful lot of possession, if you know what I mean. There wasn't an awful lot of hold the ball, play, like look for. Yeah, it was a real, like, it was a real kind of game where, you know, when you see these games where nothing kind of matters, and it's kind of everyone just goes out and plays and sees what happens, and although a lot matters because it's the World Cup, but yeah, they have a 4-day turnaround, but I'm sure 4 days is more than enough. Like, all these players in both squads would be used to those sort of turnarounds at this time of year, especially, you know. So it's not, if they weren't playing this World Cup, they'd be doing it in the league anyway. They'd be playing Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, or whatever it might be. So I think they'll be all right there. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who comes out of this group now?
Well, England are obviously going to top the group, barring an absolute disaster. Oh, I don't know, World Cup draw. I pick Wales. I'll stick with Wales. I pick Wales,
but the issue I have here now is, do England play America? No, do you know what? I'm going to stick with Wales, and I'll tell you why.
England play because, America Friday. Wales are
yeah, right. England play Wales last, and I think England will have two wins under their belt. And they'll literally just put out what they have to put out and probably get a draw, you know, and Wales, the point will probably do Wales. Jono says Acosta with the greatest cynical foul I've seen in a long time. That was right at the end. For anyone that didn't see it.
Right at the end.
Yeah, the ball gets played long. Yeah, the American keeper comes out with heads. It drops in the middle of the park and eventually finds its way to Bale, who's literally about to get it out of his feet on his left foot from literally the halfway line. Yeah. And the keeper's in no man's land. And this guy just comes in at the back of him and plows into him. Yeah. It's actually his teammate at LA, apparently. It was being said in commentary.
One of the great World Cup moments.
But he absolutely just went through Gareth Bale for a shortcut. And he did. He took him out. Tom Boland says the capacity is down for 40,000 in that stadium, but there was 43,418 at the game, even with all the empty seats. There you go. Man City must be doing the seat numbers.
I see that all three games. Yeah.
And you know what? I don't think the attendance was great at the Holland game either. It didn't look great. Moving on to Holland though. They beat Senegal 2-0 tonight. Goals from Cody Gakpo and Davy Klaassen. I wasn't impressed with them.
No, I
know it's the opening game and you don't like to peak too early because people are saying, oh, England have peaked and England haven't peaked. England played in third gear today and won handy, and Iran were part of that, and we'll get onto it in a bit, but they look very casual for me. And they look like they could be got at. Like, the guy off Watford down the left wing, Ismaili Sarr, was just tearing your man poor Dalith apart. You know, they could be got at. They were giving us space wide where we were getting balls in the box. I thought they looked very casual, Jonathan. And on top of that, they probably looked better when they were playing on the break rather than playing possession football.
Some strange selections. I don't rate Dalith at all. I think he's Dutch Harry Maguire, to be honest. He's big and cumbersome. I couldn't understand Daley Blind, left wing back. Yeah. He wasn't quick 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then Vincent Janssen, I couldn't believe when he was playing.
Yeah.
There's some past from the past.
Yeah.
I actually had to Google him before we came on. He's playing with Antwerp now. He had been in Mexico, I think, with Monterrey. Like, he was starting to play on the bench. I just didn't think.
Unless the boy had some sort of knock and. You know,
possibly, yeah. And they're easing them into the tournament, possibly. But that Dutch team won't go too far looking at them today. I think they'll probably get to the quarter final. I think that's where they meet Brazil. But I think that's as far as they'll go. I wasn't impressed with them at all. And I actually thought Van Dijk was a little bit ropey as well, unfortunately. I don't think he's been saving himself for the World Cup. I just think that's his form.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think you hit the nail on the head, because I was really intrigued to watch this game as to what way Holland will come out and play. And he goes with Ake, doesn't he? He goes with Van Dijk. He goes with Dalith in his tree. He has Dumfries at right wing back. And I thought he would have played someone like Timber instead of Dalith. And he's then you're right with the left wing back thing. I thought Frankie de Jong was very good in midfield. I have
Frankie de Jong was
he's top. I thought he was really good. And you know what? I think it was Dan Juma started up front, and he showed real good pace and power and strength holding up the ball at times. But Van Dijk, I think you're right. It just looked like Van Dijk we've seen this season. It wasn't like he tore up and he's extra sharp. There was a lot of standing off and, you know, turning and kind of not committing. And you're probably right, that's just the form he's in. But on Holland overall, and I get to Senegal in a minute, but Holland overall, did he look like they were fairly short of ideas? I don't think the attackers helped him.
Yeah. Dumfries gave him a little bit of width down the right hand side, but Daley Blind wasn't able to give him any width. Like, he wasn't able to get outside. Like, I like your man. I see what I've seen of Corpo. I like him, but I think he's more of a wide player than he was kind of playing in a 10, was he? Kind of behind Janssen and who else was up front? It was Janssen and
Danjuma.
Like, I just don't think that three at the back formation is suiting them. I think they're better set up for 4-3-3.
Well, there was four centre backs as well.
Yeah.
In the foyer.
Danjuma and Gakpo wide of a centre forward, Depay or whatever else, then play. Like, you could play Nathan Ake left full if you don't fancy Daley Blind. Then you have Van Dijk, and you play, I know Dumfries is more of a wing back, but you probably get away with him right full. If Van Dijk and one other, I don't know, you probably stick with De Ligt. I'd like to see Dutch go 4-3-3, not play 3-5-2. Just didn't look like they could. It suited the players. It was like round pegs and square holes at times.
Yeah, because when I seen the team line up, I looked and I went, I was actually saying to myself, where's he putting Gakpo here? Because I knew he'd play Janssen up front. And then I was saying, will he go Gakpo and Danjuma either side of him? And then I was saying, well, no, we can't really, because then you're looking at just two in midfield with them three lads up front. Who's linking it? And I don't think you do. I don't think you're right. I don't think it suit Gakpo at all. Now, he gets a goal, right? He gets a goal, in fairness to him. He hit him and, like I said, Davy Klaassen. But just for me, like, I think they were screwed if Frankie de Jong isn't in there, because he made so many good anything bright came from him. He made some good interceptions, blocks. He was tracking runners. He was really, really good, Frankie de Jong. But just for me,
he looked good in red.
Is this, yeah, he'd look great in red, in fairness. But is this just the Van Gaal effect, where he'll go in and go, listen, I'll just play five at the back? And look, I'd even nearly class Daley Blind as a centre half now. He probably does play fucking centre half for Ajax now, rather than full back or wing back. And it was just a very strange performance. And I felt a little bit sorry for Senegal, because I think, although Holland probably have the three best chances of the first half, where they get in behind Senegal, one where Frankie de Jong should score and he keeps coming inside for some reason. But I thought overall Senegal probably looked the more likely. You know, they were threatening, they were getting down the sides, and I thought Ismaili Sarr had a brilliant game.
It's hard to believe he's in the championship, isn't it?
Yeah.
No one's taking the punt on him. This might change after the World Cup. Yeah, I thought, look, Senegal are African champions, like, so they're obviously a good side. And you would think if Mane was there today, that could have been the difference for them. Like, they're well in this group. Like, you're obviously fancying to pump Qatar. They looked so poor yesterday. And it'll come down to that game against Ecuador. And then probably a 50-50 game. Ecuador, a decent side. But
I keep saying Danjuma. It was Bergwijn. Sorry, I keep saying Danjuma.
Bergwijn. Yes.
Sorry, that's my fault.
Ex-Spurs lad, yeah. But
he looked really good.
No, like Senegal have good players, like, good. We're still well in this group. But trying to score goals could be an issue for them. And geez, Mendy had a nightmare on goal. Absolute nightmare.
The problem with Mendy is that Mendy arrives at Chelsea and everyone is telling you he's the best thing since sliced bread, and he has a decent season at Chelsea, and then he's just looked ropey for me. And Chelsea are in a bit of a bother here, because I think he looks ropey anytime I watch him. And on top of that, you have Kepa. Kepa is just, like, absolutely has a mistake in the bag every time he walks out on the pitch. Like, but Holland get the win. puts them in a strong position in the group, because I'd actually fancy Senegal to win the next two games, to be honest. I'd fancy them against Ecuador, and I'd fancy them against Qatar. Who plays next in that group, though? Is it Qatar against?
I'd have to look it up.
Because that's the only things I kind of look at. When are they playing each other? What state will the group be in? You know, the sort of way, because Ecuador still have to go and play Holland. Now, if that's the last group game, you know, whoever has Holland last, you know, I still think I'd fancy Senegal.
It's Qatar, Senegal, and Holland, Ecuador next.
Okay, well then, if you look at it, if Senegal get a win and Holland get a win, you're looking at
winner takes all
their level, and it's a winner takes all. I still think I'd fancy Senegal, just from what I've seen over their first set of games. I think I would fancy them.
It'd be a 50-50 Ecuador, decent side, and they scored, I think it was 27 goals in qualifying. Enner Valencia, another fella who, this evergreen, I thought he was gone as well, but apparently he's playing in Turkey, so he knows where the goals are. But you know, like there's no guarantee that Holland beat Ecuador.
I think Holland will be looking to put this to bed now. You know, they'll be looking to go in now and go, right, we have the 3 points, get one more, and we might be carrying a few knocks, and maybe he's done that today with, you know, Daley Blind out there, or maybe he's done it with De Ligt, and maybe he wants to bring one or two more in, like Depay, and they're just carrying little knocks, and he thinks, get the second game out of the way, get the 6 points on the board, and we're through. But again, it's going to be an interesting group, because one will stand out, and there's not much to pick between the following two. Qatar won't figure, and they'll be gone at the end of the group stages. Finally, England 6, Iran 2. England, I watched the whole game, and there was never in doubt from minute one who was winning the game. Iran came out, were very, very negative, didn't want to play, couldn't hold on to the ball. You have to give England credit for that. I thought he pressed Iran really well, like, especially when Iran tried to get out, they were on top of them. The Iran keeper goes off. Well, he gets injured after about 5 minutes, and he's on the ground for I don't know how long. It's a serious smack he gets. And you can see, is it Kiros is the Iran manager, isn't he? You could see him on the side of the pitch. You could see he had his hand on his head when he seen the going off. He must be a massive player for them, because the goalkeeper that come on didn't cover himself in glory, but the best laid plans were out the window. But I have to be honest, and I think he just organises them really well. You know, you could see him from the first few minutes, England were probing, but you know, every time it cut him, he was, you know, kind of marshalling where he'd be, and then that all kind of disappeared as soon as he went off. But England were very good value for that win. Yeah, they give away two goals. One of them's a penalty, and it's probably a penalty. But having said that, England should have a penalty within the first 2 minutes as well. When Maguire and John Stones are just manhandled to the ground for no reason in the box. And you know what? England were good. They were very good. I tweeted earlier, I couldn't believe that Phil Foden wasn't in the side, and some Tommy had a knock. But like, people were coming back at me going, oh, well, Saka scored two, and I was kind of going, I'm not having a go at Saka. I'd like to see Phil Foden in this side. I think he had something Now, Mount, don't get me wrong, Mount was very good. Sterling was okay and got a goal. I actually think Phil Foden might become a bit more important as they get deeper into the competition and they get into tighter games. I think he works so good in tight games. But overall, England were good. Maguire had a good game before he went off. He was winning headers. He was keeping it simple. Pickford had fuck all to do. The one that surprised me big time, though, Jonathan, was I thought Luke Shaw was excellent for them. I thought he was excellent for them. He seemed to be the one that was their outlet, and he was getting forward. He was making good runs on the ball and off the ball. And Trippier was a bit more reserved. I thought Luke Shaw was excellent for them today.
Yeah, Luke Shaw seems to play better for England. He was very good in the Euros. He's one of these players. Sometimes players play better international football than they do in club games. That's why I never. I can understand Southgate picking. Maguire to a certain degree and Trippier to a certain degree, because sometimes club form doesn't matter when you're on the international stage. Some players just play better for their country than they do for their club. But yeah, Shaw's a good outlet down the outside. He got up and down. Great delivery for Bellingham's goal. It's actually only thinking to stay. There's a big cloud around Iran at the minute. Some of the players have spoken out about the issues that are going on there politically in the country. So they actually could fall apart. I don't know if they're the happy camp. So earlier I said I wouldn't write Iran off, but there is a lot. There's a big cloud over that team. There's a lot going on. So maybe they could fall apart. I don't know. But look, England would be delighted. Six goals. And I know they conceded. Southgate's work on as well, like to keep fellas drilled. It'd be interesting to see in the knockout stages, does he stick with four at the back or does he go to three when they play the better teams?
I think it makes loads of sense playing four, because when he plays three centre halves, right, he gets so afraid of his full backs getting forward that he ends up with them too deep. And he's there to get penned in. And it leaves an awful lot of work for whether it's Rice or Bellingham or whoever might be in the middle of the park. And then I think Sterling can fall out of the game. Saka was excellent today. But with the four, they know that them two can go forward and they've two midfield that'll cover. And not only that, they've a more chance of penning teams in, I think. Like today, they had four and they two. And then it was like a 4-2-3-1. But Sterling was getting very close to Kane, you know, so Mount was kind of drifting over to that left-hand side. So it was nearly like a 4-2-4. Now, that's maybe down to the opposition that you have, that you can say, look, Sterling, you go and roam wherever you like. Against better teams, he might have to stick that left-hand side, and a better quality fullback against him might be going forward. Like if he's playing against a Spain or a Brazil or an Argentina. But, you know...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
England were very good. I just think it's a bit hard to judge how good England were, you know, in the grand scheme of things. Exactly. They've done their job. They scored their goals. But will it be hard against America? Yes. Will it be hard against Wales? Yes. And if England want to progress, you know, in this tournament, which they get out of the group, but if they want to progress, you're going to see them. Will Sterling roam off that side against the other two? You know, Kane was very reserved for me today. He was looking a lot to get it come deep and torn. Maybe that was because of Saka's Sterling's pace. He was probably looking to get them in. But a really good performance from some great goals. The Bellingham header is brilliant. Sterling's finish was brilliant. They're all really good finishes. Saka's two finishes are really good. Like they when they got the chance, they took them, in fairness to them.
Yeah, okay. England's issues are always come later on when they play teams with better midfields than where England can't retain the ball. So their issues are not going to be really exposed in this group, I don't think so. If you looked at Wales and America tonight, there wasn't much control in midfield in either of them. England's issues always come when they still have that deep line midfielder and control again. Who knows when to go short, knows when to go long. Like the close past 10, 15 years, Michael Carrick, and they never really picked them. So England will top the group and they'll probably beat whoever comes second in the Holland, Senegal, Ecuador group. But it'll come to the quarterfinal stage when they first get tested. Will the midfield of Mount, Rice and Bellingham be good enough? I still don't know if they have that ball-playing midfielder who can just take the sting out of the game, know when to go short, when to go long. They've never had one. That's where they're failing.
I think when you look at that midfield today from England, you know, Rice does what Rice does. He gets around the pitch. He's physical. He's a good footballer. I'm still a bit on the fence. I like him, but I just think I'm a bit on the fence when people start telling you he's world class and he's going to go, I'm not too sure. Bellingham was everywhere today. Like, and that's just not, that's not me as a Liverpool fan hoping he signs for Liverpool. He was everywhere. And the thing was, in the first 15, I was watching it on, I think it was Fox Sports, I think I was watching it on. It was, the commentary was good. But I think Landon Donovan was on the, it was Landon Donovan. And he actually called it brilliantly, because Rice and Bellingham are beside each other, you know, on the pitch, passing square and stuff like that. And Landon Donovan just turns around and says, they probably need to get Jude Bellingham 15 yards ahead of Rice and leave Rice in there on his own. He's well capable of dealing with what's coming from Iran. And literally a couple of minutes later, Bellingham gets into these positions and there he is in the box. And Landon Donovan was going on about it a lot, saying, listen, you're not going to get an awful lot of space in the middle here. They need to get men in the box when it gets wide. And there, like, he kills two birds with one stone, because Bellingham does break away from that kind of, you know, straight line he was forming with Rice, gets in the box, and the ball from wide is good from Sean. He scores that header. But defensively, he was good, and under pressure, he was good. But I kind of know where you're coming from. You know, I look at Jude Bellingham as someone that, yeah, can track back and get forward. But I know what you're saying. Someone like a sitting midfielder is just going to pop balls off and, you know, in a kind of Pirlo sort of way.
But exactly.
Having said that, the threat England have with Saka, with Sterling, Mount, Foden, if he was in there, Kane, it does make teams sit back. It does make teams worry, because, in fairness, England, and again, it's probably the opposition, but England left Saka, Sterling, Kane, and Mount very, very high up the pitch and nearly all times, especially in the first half.
Yeah, you think like England are probably, in attacking terms, are probably the top three or four teams in the tournament. Like, especially now with France after losing Benzema and Nkunku. They look like England, Brazil, France still have quality in the final third, maybe Portugal as well. Like, England have got serious attacking threat. So, and options off the bench as well. Like, they brought on Grealish, who hasn't been having a great season. They brought on Foden. Like, so they have options.
Rashford comes on and scores.
Rashford, yeah. Pace off the
good
bench.
Good goal as well.
Great, fantastic touch to cut inside. Like, England have a chance. There's no doubt about it. Like, as you said, they could get to a quarterfinal. Probably France or Denmark. More than likely France. And England have players that can hurt. The issue for England, again, is, as I said already, the midfield and the serious question marks over centre-back. Do you trust Maguire and John Stones when it comes to playing the elite? Like, if you're playing Mbappe, Olivier Giroud, and I don't know, maybe Dembele, I don't know, or Griezmann or something, do you trust them? Or if they have to play against Vinicius, Neymar, and I don't know, be on the right side, Anthony, do you trust that back four against the elite teams?
The only thing I'd say for England is, right, I think the biggest thing in this tournament for England is how brave they are. Because I get where you're coming from, right? If England go out there and Southgate reverts back to what he usually does, where, like you said earlier, does he do four, does he do five? And he goes five. And immediately it ends up being 5-4-1. And that one ends up being Harry Kane. Harry Kane looks like he's lost up there on his own. He's a bit isolated. The likes of Saka and Sterling, who are in that four, are literally just covering Shaw and Trippier, right, to help them out. And the two lads in midfield invariably end up being played around with three from France or whatever it might be. But I think if England are brave, and again, I'm looking at it today, and I know the opposition, but for me, if England went out there and says, right, listen, Trippier or Shaw, one of them do not bomb forward at all times, because I think it's Shaw's job to do that today, right?
Yeah.
Whatever centre-halves you go with, if he fancies Maguire and Stones, if he goes with that, fine, and he keeps a full-back back, and he says, right, and now the two in front are maybe a bit of licence for Bellingham, but Rice sticks. But the important thing is the three ahead of them are given licence to stay up the pitch. And I'm not talking about when England are defending that they're fucking standing up front. I'm talking about they're not just standing in front of their fullbacks all day. They're pressing the opposition fullback, or they're making things, you know, where even when the England win a ball back, they're not getting it 30 yards from their own goal. They're getting around the halfway line. It makes a huge difference. I think bravery here from England is probably going to be their biggest issue, because they have got really good attacking talent. They have got people off the bench in a lot of positions. But I just think that what may hold them back is if the bravery gets torn down a couple of notches and they end up sitting in. And if they sit in, I know they could be really good on the break as well, but if they sit in, other teams will hoard them. Other teams will hoard them. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah, do you give them a chance of winning it?
Quarter final at least.
Yeah.
At least. But I'd worry over the goalkeeper. I'd worry over the centre half partnership, and I'd worry over their manager falling back into going out in the games not to be beaten. Mm-hmm. And he ends up going too far the other way where they're not really showing much, but they're under the cosh. I think they will get to a quarter final, but I think if they come up against a Brazil, an Argentina, possibly even a Croatia, someone, and I don't even know if we can get them fucking teams. Like, I haven't even looked at the chart.
It looks like more than likely to be France or Denmark in a quarter final, depending on who tops that group.
Mm-hmm.
Like, France could go either way with them. They could explode.
Like Kevin Sullivan says there, they beat Denmark, but they'd struggle versus France. But Denmark play a very kind of British game as well, you know. And England might find it hard. Look, listen, we could be sitting here in 2.5 weeks' time and in a semi-final, you know what I mean, or whatever. Like, but I think if England are to progress beyond the quarterfinal, it's going to take some bravery. It's going to take some bravery from the manager, and it's going to take big performances from a goalkeeper and centre back. I think the rest can look after themselves. You know, if he doesn't want to play Bellingham because he's probably too attack minded, although I think he was very good defensively again today, he can go in with a Calvin Phillips. He can even put a Jordan Henderson in there, whoever he wants to put in there, you know, and go that bit more solid. But if he's going to go more solid in midfield, he has to keep those players up front to threaten. Because you, like, genuinely, if it's a bit like when you watch Liverpool and you go, Liverpool are letting Mane stay up a little bit, they're letting Salah stay up a little bit, or, you know, and teams, instead of bombing at you, kind of tentatively leave fullbacks back and they give you a chance to defend, and then it's up to you playing against them and their forward. So I think it's going to, if they're brave, I think they can go a long way in it. Because I think they have...
We'll probably learn more about them Friday night against America. Today, they weren't tested. I think they'll be tested more against the United States on Friday night.
And America probably know they're coming out. America probably know they're coming out on Friday knowing they need to get something.
Mm.
Because if America lose, they'd be looking at possibly Wales having 4 points. They're having one. Wales are going into the last game against England, who are already qualified and could probably... England probably just hand Wales a draw and they all move on, you know, sort of way. So it's going to be interesting. You looking forward to tomorrow's games?
Yeah, Argentina are on first, so I'm looking forward to seeing Messi. I have him back to be top goal scorer. So
are we up to 4 games a day? Yeah,
4 games a day tomorrow. Yeah,
from tomorrow is the
first one.
Yeah,
yeah. Argentina, Saudi Arabia first.
Yeah,
then Denmark, Tunisia. Then Mexico, Poland, and France, Australia.
We'll have a watch along for France, Australia tomorrow. I think Kevin, Chris are on that again. And tomorrow we will have today at the World Cup as well. I probably have it written down here as to who's on. I do. Look, Jesus, I'm well organized, haven't I? Tomorrow, Kevin, Chris for France, Australia. And Chris is going to stay on with Matt at 10 p.m. to go through the day's games. Emma Cavanagh confirmed there.
Remember back in the day when there was no floodlights in Lansdowne, you used to be able to bring a letter into school to get the half day.
The only thing is now we're too old to be in school, so it's trying to get out of doing work and doing stuff at home. I was dossing around the house saying I had the football on. My wife said, is that the World Cup? I says, yeah. How long's that on for? It's like 4 weeks, and she's like, oh, for fuck's sake, are we going to have to put for this 4 weeks? Like, literally, every time she looked, I was just standing and going, oh, what's going on in that game? So, but look, four games tomorrow, and they're all decent games. Like, even the ones that you don't think are going to be decent end up.
Mexico and Poland is a big game.
Yeah, I think they all look decent tomorrow. But look, it was a good day of football. England trashed Iran. Holland got away with a win, and they'll be delighted with that, having not played well. America and Wales overall, a draw was probably fair.
Probably fair, yeah.
Yeah, America probably felt the edge there over, but Wales in the second half, with the second half performance, probably deserved that point. Anything else before we go?
Qataris have spent $200 billion. I'd say that they're probably not even happy to have the World Cup now. It's shone a light on the regime, I'd say.
Yeah. What did you make of this thing with the armbands?
I see Roy Keane said they should just take the booking. I don't know. It's if you're a footballer, you probably dream of getting to the World Cup. You don't dream of being suspended after two games, like, and one of the bookings. I don't know. I think what it looks like to me is that the week before the World Cup, Qatar have just said, look, I know we promised X, Y, and Z, but what, you're not going to pull the tournament on us now. Yeah. So
no alcohol, this, that, and the other, yeah. And the thing is, these armbands have been worn in FIFA sanctioned games before, right? I'm sure of it. They have to be, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, these armbands. So it's clearly something that's come out of Qatar. It's not FIFA. Like, FIFA could have told them this rule 3 months ago. You know, players aren't allowed to hold anything political or stuff like that. And I don't even think that armband comes under personal beliefs anyway. You know, it might fall under personal beliefs, but it doesn't fall under advertising or political or whatever it might, whatever they fucking have in their rule book. But see, Cotter says gay rights are political, by the way. I don't agree that gay rights are political.
I don't think they're just a basic human right.
I think, I don't even. Do you know what? Yeah, it's probably a human right, but it shouldn't even be called a right. You know, it's a human. And what I mean by that is that, listen, we're in a world where, and this is the way I feel about it. If you want to be gay, straight, whatever you want to be, right? Just do it. You're not harming anybody. Just do it. It's no problem, right? But what I'm saying is, like, you can't call that a political statement, right? You probably call it a personal statement. It's definitely not an advertisement. But FIFA could have come out with that ages ago and said, listen, we know you're going to wear these things, but you're not allowed. Now, if they've been worn in games, qualifying games for the World Cup, they've been in officially sanctioned games under the umbrella of FIFA through the guise of UEFA when you're in those qualifying games. I think he should have worn the armbands today.
Because I think it's unfair on 32 players to have to just automatically take a book. Because it's only going to be the captain wearing the armband. It wouldn't be all 11 players wearing it. A lot of pressure on one individual to wear an armband.
Well, then all of them wear.
That's what should happen.
But you see, the thing is, right?
One team should agree to it. Every team in the tournament should agree to it.
But the thing is, right? They've worn these before. No doubt. They say they're going to wear them, and FIFA don't pull this rule out of their arse 3 months ago. They pull it out of their arse today. Right? Because I think you're spot on. I think Qatar have turned around in the last 3 or 4 days and said, oh, yeah, we know we've promised you could drink, will you not? We didn't say about those armbands. No, doesn't happen. We're against homosexuality in this country, and you will not be promoting it. Blah blah. And that's it. You're not going to pull the tournament. That's absolutely fine. And there's probably an element of that where, you know, how this tournament has ended up here, and the agreements that have been made in the background, shall I say, people don't want to rock any boats there because they could end up being exposed for certain things, right? But I don't understand why those, as a football association like the England or Holland, why they didn't go to FIFA and go, hold on, this rule, you didn't pull this rule 3 months ago, so why are you pulling it now? You know what I mean? So now, is this a regime we're working in within this football tournament now? Is that what we're saying? And FIFA pride themselves on, and I use that lightly, and that's saying pride themselves, but the World Game. you know, the inclusive game. And, you know, and as soon as this World Cup's over, the, you know, you can be guaranteed, in the, is it America and Canada are hosting the next one?
America
on its own, maybe. But
America and Canada,
you can be guaranteed, right? There'll be the rainbow flags everywhere, and FIFA will have an absolute ball, and they'll play on that, and they'll be selling flags with the FIFA logo and everything on it, right? But what happens if America turn around and say, well, Ronaldo can't come into our country and play that World Cup? Now, I know he'd be too old, right? But Ronaldo can't come into that tournament. You can be guaranteed FIFA will go, hold on a minute. This is a fucking football tournament. We're trying to sell this tournament. You know, it's just, I just think it's pathetic. And I mean that from, and listen, Qatar have their way, right? They have their way, they have their beliefs, they have all that. But at the end of the day, they're getting a tournament. Everyone knows what comes with that tournament. You're going to get people of all race, color, creed turning up, all beliefs. It's the world game. The world descends on your country, right? Giving it to another country that don't like black people, right? And then, can we have the World Cup, but you don't like black people? Oh, well, yeah, but we'd be fine. And then saying 2 days before, well, no, hold on, they're not allowed in. Like, it's just, it's fucking mad, like, you know what I mean? German FA called foul on timing. They said FIFA were informed on the double change of rules happened in the last 40 hours, says Chris Golden. It's just, I just think it's ridiculous.
I actually think that if Qatar had their time back, they wouldn't host the World Cup. It hasn't played out for them like the way they thought it was going to be.
But how can it play out? Like, what way did they want it to play out?
I'd say they thought they were going to some type of a form of sports washing. This is our great country. Look at our great stadiums. Look at the event we can put on. Blah, blah, blah. But all it's done is it's put the whole world is watching them, and it's shining a light on them. And it's all criticisms that they're getting. And they've wasted $200 billion. There'll be no legacy from this World Cup.
No, there'll be no legacy whatsoever. It actually, do you know what? It'll actually do damage to a World Cup being hosted in that part of the world for a long time, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, if you look at all the issues that have come up, they're only gonna if you go to that part of the world again, they're only gonna come up again. Plus, football associations are gonna go, hold on, listen, I've no problem with the World Cup being wherever they want to fucking play it, but the whole world descends on you. The reason, or what should be the reason for you hosting a World Cup, is that you are able to welcome whoever wants to show up, right? Once within reason, like if people are showing up and being arseholes, fair enough. You know what I mean? You deal with them. But the whole idea is that you are able to host anything that comes at you from all corners of the world, and you're meant to be the best host. The word is host. You know what I mean? If you're hosting a party in your house on New Year's Eve and you start fucking discriminating against people as they come to the door, you're not a great host, are you? You know what I mean? I think the players should have just worn their armbands. And called it out.
Yeah, we could be looking at Saudi Arabia 2038.
Do you know what I think? Do you know what I think could happen? I think you might see a team that haven't got a chance to qualify from the third game, and a player will wear the band.
Yeah,
you just go out, or the whole team will do it. Someone will do it. And I think it'd be brilliant.
Denmark would be fairly vociferous around the whole World Cup, so it'd be interesting to see what Denmark do.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, people saying, like, well, do it now. But you don't know where they'll end up. Like, they could get thrown out of the World Cup. You don't know how mad this is going to get. You know what I mean? But you might find someone at the end going, listen, we're not going through here. Everyone's wearing the armbands. And if you go on the pitch and he books them all, tells them to take it off and you refuse to, and he has to send them all off, the players just walk out and go, right, grand. Yeah, fuck it. We're out anyway. Focus. And we make a stand in this way. Now, maybe that's not good enough for some people because people want it done right at the start. And I kind of see both sides of the arguments. But to pull that rule this morning was pathetic from FIFA. But this is what you're dealing with now, isn't it? It's just you know, it's they don't they represent they represent fuck all. Like, let's be honest.
After Infantino's speech the other day.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Anything is possible with FIFA.
Yeah, and you know what? Do you know what? All our shows will have all our shows in the World Cup will have One Love on the screen. And it's not a publicity stunt. It's nothing like that. We just decided today that, well, we can put it on the screen. What are you going to do? Turn off our YouTube channel? Go ahead. You know, but no, One Love will be on the screen. Let me see. Anything has to do, let me see. I'm just reading through the comments before I go. Yeah, a lot of people call it virtual signaling and stuff like that. But look, it's one of those things where you might see something come up in the next possible. You never know. Someone could, like, all the group games haven't been played. Denmark's fella could come out and go, I'm wearing it. Yeah, I'll take the booking. No problem. Do you know what I mean? They might absolutely do that. They could end up fucking putting their third keeper in goal, making them captain, getting them booked, take them off the pitch, and put their keeper in goal.
Yeah,
they could do something like that.
Yeah.
But look, it was a good day's football. There was some good goals. There was good games. There's loads of injury time. There's been fucking mad amounts of injury time. The game's gone on for fucking all night. But overall, I think it was a good day's football. And hopefully, you know what? One or two people over there are still, you know, supporting that One Love campaign and stuff like that. And not only that, they're just being themselves. And that's what you should be in a World Cup. And I don't think it's the end of it. I think you're probably right. I think they're probably looking at it now going, there's no legacy off this. We're not coming out of this in a good light. And look, that's where the country is. And that's what you should expect when you turn up there. As I said, watch along for the rest of the week. France, Australia tomorrow, Belgium, Canada Wednesday, Brazil, Serbia Thursday, England, USA Friday. Kev and Chris do most of them. I've a few more. I've one or two that I have to confirm. And like tomorrow, you have got Chris and Matt doing your today at the World Cup will be tomorrow. Chris and Matt. Keith and Chris on Wednesday, me and yourself again on Thursday after Brazil play. Friday, we have to confirm who's on there. But look, we're trying to bring you as many shows as you can. Hit the like button, subscribe if you can. You know all the stuff. The link for Lydia is in the description. Go and check that out. Next week, we'll be giving away all our free LFC DT beanie hats. We'll be giving them away live on shows and in the comments afterwards and stuff like that. We spread out as much as we can amongst people that listen in different ways. Jonathan, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll meet again on Thursday.
Thanks very much. I'll be here Thursday.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks a million for everyone for watching. Yeah, it's been a good show. Been a good day's football. We'll be all back at it tomorrow. Talk to you in a bit. Over and out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.